This is John McVeigh, and I'm just going to share my thoughts from a marketing perspective with some things I'd like you to consider as you prepare for the Fowler Business Challenge. There are really five or six things I'm going to cover. The first is the role you see yourself as adopting during the presentation from a marketing perspective, and I hope to persuade you to take the role as a persuasive lawyer rather than a scientist trying to prove things to an audience. The second thing I want you to consider are the main tools that you have at your disposal, the first being a compelling, exciting human story, and secondly, some data and evidence that supports that story. And obviously the fact that those have to be woven together through the presentation in a persuasive manner that illustrates an exciting story with potential success, but also something that's simple enough that would make sense to my grandmother or my 10-year-old. If it's not memorable and intuitively understandable to my 10-year-old or my grandma, then it's probably not a compelling, clear idea. Third thing I want you to consider is start with the story, not with the data. Fourth thing is the importance of illustrating and being specific about a unique value proposition. Fifth, I'll talk a little bit about the nature of the evidence, the sort of evidence that we would carry out. And then lastly, I'm going to talk about some do's and don'ts generally about the presentation. So, the goal. As I said, I think we should consider thinking of yourself as a lawyer. And your audience is a jury. You're not a scientist trying to beat them into submission with data. You're not trying to prove anything. You're trying to construct an inspiring, exciting argument that convinces enough of them, beyond reasonable doubt, that you've got a great idea, something worth supporting. I think one of the misconceptions is, and we see a lot of this coming over from the media, from some of the TV shows that look at this, that the audience is aggressive, unsupportive, looking to trip you up, looking for you to fail. In my experience, the audience is on your side. They want you to succeed. They love new ideas. They like young people. They come into the room wanting you to succeed. So you need to inspire them, not beat them to death with data. Imagine the audience is, you know, made up of your favorite aunts, uncles, and basically your job is to convince them enough that they'll write you a $1,000 check just to kick your can further down the road, take your idea forward for the next 6 months. The process, as I said before, like a good lawyer, you need to weave two things together. A lawyer doesn't start with the evidence table and come in and describe, here's the knife, here's the gun, here's the photograph. The lawyer comes in and says, let me tell you the story of the crime. You need to start with a compelling story from the perspective of the customer about what is exciting about what you're going to do. And then you need to weave that in and support that with a table of evidence. Subtly, as you go along, you need to illustrate that there is support for this and that you've done the work to find that story. So some of the mistakes to make at this point is, don't start with you. Don't start with the product. Don't pull it out of your pocket and start showing the features and the things it can do and how excited you are. Most of all, don't start with an Excel spreadsheet and start talking about free cash flows. You need to start with the customer. You need to start with a real story of a human being, and you need to describe their life and how they live without your product. Then you need to describe another vignette about their life with your product or service. And then you need to illustrate that there's a substantial difference between the two, and that they would be willing to pay for that, that a reasonable person would be willing to pay for that, and that it's relatively obvious that this is an exciting improvement to someone's life. So having set the scene with a story, a human story about how someone's life would change somehow because of the existence of your product, the next thing you need to follow up is being a little more specific with what we call the unique value proposition. And the perspective I'd like you to consider is, there are three legs to that argument of a unique value proposition. The first, and those three are clear benefit, dramatic difference, reason to believe. Clear benefit seems straightforward. I can't tell you how many presentations we sit through. And at the very end, people go, I love the talk. I love their presentation. I love their numbers. I love their enthusiasm. But what were they talking about? What was the actual idea? What's the core of what this thing's supposed to do? I never understood that. You can't oversimplify the clear benefit. And secondly, the benefit is not from you. It's not the benefit in terms of its technological capabilities. It's its benefit from the customer's perspective. What does it help some other human being do? Does it help them get up early in the morning? Does it help them look better? Does it help them feel better? Does it help them do something faster, so do something smarter? What is the clear benefit that it does from them, aside from your own interest in technical capabilities? So that's the clear benefit, first leg of the unique value proposition. The second leg of the unique value proposition is the dramatic difference. It's all very well having a benefit, but if everyone else has the same benefit, we're not going to be particularly interested. So the dramatic difference here is what makes yours different than other people's. Now, at this point, it's important to say, don't list all the things that makes your product different. Don't think you need to list all the things that make your product really good. You need to really emphasize the single differentiating difference. The example I always use in class to illustrate this is BMW, which for years has told us it's the ultimate driving machine, that really what distinguishes it from different cars is the driving, white-knuckle experience of driving that car. Are they reliable? Sure. Are they fuel efficient? Pretty much. Do they have good resale value? Yep. Are they well engineered? Yep. Do they tell you that? Never. They tell you the one thing, because lots of cars have those other attributes, but they tell you that the thing that distinguishes what their idea, that makes it most different, the one single dramatic difference is, it's the ultimate driving machine. So you need to think about that. Don't tell them all the benefits of your product. Tell them the distinguishing one. The third leg of the unique value proposition is the reason to believe. Now, this is one we often leave out as entrepreneurs, and it's different from corporate marketing to some degree. The reason why you need to focus on the reason to believe is that the bar is much higher for an entrepreneur, because you've got no reputation, there's no knowledge of you in the marketplace, you've got no network, and so people have to have a reason to believe that you could pull this off, that you're capable of pulling it off, that you actually will pull it off, and you just won't disappear with our check and never to be seen again. So I might believe that you have a clear benefit. I might believe you have a dramatic difference. But if you don't give me a reason to believe in you and your capability, then I'm not going to be really interested. So far we've talked about the different perspective we want to take as a persuasive lawyer rather than a scientist seeking proof. We've talked about the story, starting with a human story. And we've talked about defining a unique value proposition and making sure we think through the three definitions of that. The next step I want to go to is the step where we do now start to try to provide some evidence. And this is a piece that might be slightly different than you intuitively may have thought. What people really don't want, what is really not useful, is to produce pages and pages of Excel data taken from standard library industry reports demonstrating that you've got a great knowledge of a certain market or industry. Everybody knows that that information is available to everybody. It's public data. There's nothing distinctive or interesting about it. And everyone knows that they could go and buy it for the same amount of money that you spend on the industry report. What they really is much more exciting is if you can actually demonstrate real field evidence, having talked to real human beings face to face and actually explained to them the situation, understood their problem, have a personal testimonial from five or six people that they have this need, that the ideas you have would satisfy this need and that would demonstrate an ability to pay. So any, you know, half a dozen real field interviews, videos are worth 10,000 pieces of third-party data. A pretty good rule of thumb in this area is if there's already an industry report for the specific innovation you're talking about, then you're probably too late with your entrepreneurial idea. So what these people, they know that they could, at some point, you will be required to do some what we call confirmatory research, some more statistical and data-driven research. But at the point of the presentation, no one is interested in confirmatory data. They're interested in really compelling ideas that may or may not have a widespread appeal. And so it is much more important that you can demonstrate this quirky idea you have for, I don't know, funky chopsticks that squirt soy sauce onto food, and you can find five people who would be really excited by that idea and will demonstrate that they would pay money for that, rather than the sort of presentations we often see where people talk about, here's the Chinese market, it's 7 billion people, and a chopstick costs $1, and that's a $7 billion revenue, and if we got 1% of that revenue that grows to over 20% a year at a certain margin, we're going to make $5 billion. Everyone knows that sort of analysis is made up, and none of that actually persuades anyone that there is an underlying human need for the product. It's just pushing numbers around an Excel spreadsheet. So please, please focus on real research of real potential customers and try to demonstrate to them that you've spoken to these people in the field and you understand them. And from that, you will actually build your compelling proposition. So, moving on to the final couple of points I want to make are sort of top mistakes and top do's and don'ts for your presentation. Some of these will be a little bit repetitive, but it's worth repeating because we still see the mistakes being made time after time. So the top mistakes is, number one, starting with the cool product, pulling it out, showing the features, showing it all the things it can do that nobody else can do without talking about the customer or the change it's making in their life. Another top mistake is talking about you, how cool you are, how great you are, how committed you are. Another top mistake is starting with pro formas and free cash flows. Just don't do it. You've got to start with the potential customer and their potential need. So another mistake to me, you know, is wasting time presenting, as I said, industry data that they are perfectly know that you got online or got from a library. There's little value for that. You need to show that your evidence, your marketing research, your marketing data is unique to you, and that you're looking at it a different perspective than the standard industry review. Don't waste time trying to prove the obvious. Don't waste time terribly trying to prove that your product will succeed. You don't have to prove it will succeed to everyone in the audience. As long as you can get a minority of the audience to believe that your idea is worth pursuing to the next stage, that's a victory. Don't show, another mistake is not to show a personal connection. People are looking, are interested. You don't want to start with yourself, but at some point, often towards the end, it's important to show that you have a personal connection with this idea that will drive you to go the extra mile. People know how hard it is to start an entrepreneurial venture. People know how many demands it will make of you. And they pretty much know that if you don't have a personal connection and a personal drive, if you could switch this idea for another one at the drop of a hat, then you're probably not going to have the drive to follow this through. So let me end back where I started with a third summary of the key points that I hope you at least consider. Number one is your purpose is persuasion, not proof. The audience is with you, not against you. You need to start with a story about a human being's life that is changed by your product or service. You need to demonstrate a unique value proposition, that you understand a clear benefit from their perspective, not yours, that there's a dramatic difference, and only tell them one dramatic difference, not 14, and give them a reason to believe that you and only you will follow this through and succeed. You need to show them evidence that at least gives them comfort that this idea is real, and that evidence has to be first-party, face-to-face, in-field interviews, not some report you've pulled out of a library stack. And then you need to talk about why me, how I'm committed to this, and how it's going to really make a difference to my life to succeed with this idea. The last point, then, that I want you to make is really to say, ask for questions. Ask for help. Don't be defensive. If they criticize an idea, take the criticism. Ask them what they would do. Ask them if they could help you take the idea further. And then lastly, list where you think you're going to take this idea, what steps you're going to take it, take your research in order to firm up the idea even further. So they will see this as a work in progress. They'll not see it as some sort of declaration that you have proven that you're going to make X million dollars or X market share, that you have a compelling idea that excites them, that you're an interesting person, and that you're they want to support you to taking it further down the line towards success. So anyway, I hope you consider these ideas, and good luck, and I look forward to hearing all the great ideas in the competition. Thanks a lot.